Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the kidney stone formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
1-2-3-2-2-9-3-6-6-3. Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. Hope you had a great day. Thanks for joining us here on Herb Talk. We're here to empower you. That's what we like to do. And Magical Engineer Frank and I have a great show. So thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. Hey, you know what we're going to be talking about today? We're going to talk about some gene editing. Some new stuff is out.
Yep.
They want to edit out some natural traits. Ooh. How do you suppose that's going to go? Well, we're going to find out. Also, we're going to be talking about what doctors admit to with regard to prescription medications, vaccines, and diagnosing. Ooh, that should be fun. And we'll see how the hour goes. We got some other stuff plus a quack report. But before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting this nation up prayer because, you know, this nation needs it. Hope you are, you know, hitting the knees, seeking the Lord's face like I am, because mind the time, it grows short. So today's devotional puts us in Matthew 6 and 1 Peter 5. Where we are promised and encouraged that your Father knows what things you have need of before you even ask Him. And also, we should humble ourselves before the Almighty, because the hand of God can exalt us in due time, casting all our care upon Him, for He cares for you. Absolutely great stuff. I'll take it. And like I said, seek the Lord's face, because that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, first up in the quacker, let's see. Apparently, the CDC is reporting that we've got more diseases that are spread by ticks than we ever wanted to know about. So research in this tick-borne disease thing, like Lyme's disease, according to the CDC, we have more today than ever before. So it's not just Lyme's disease. There's other potential viruses. There's, you know, the spotted Rocky Mountain spotted fever. There's other types of fevers that are spread by ticks and other types of viruses. I mean, it's a long list. So last year, according to the CDC, we had over 59,000 cases of tick-borne diseases, up from 2016, which we had 48,000 in 2016. So they're finding that this trend where ticks are spreading more disease has really gotten out of hand. Researchers discovered 7 new tick-borne pathogens that are infecting people. And health authorities don't know how that's happening. I think I do. I think a lot of it, you know, some of you may disagree, but I think a lot of that's created in the lab. And it's all the gene editing. The biotechnology field is on the march, let's put it that way. All right, last but not least in the quack report, speaking of gene editing, farm animals are getting some new features through gene editing. This is out of Oakfield, New York. They want to edit your cows, your dairy cows, to be able to be more resistant to hot temperatures. So they're out there in the hot weather. Also, they want to make sure that, how cows can, you know, they have the horns and they say they could, you know, get nasty with each other and hurt each other. So they're editing the horns right off the cows. I'm not kidding. There's a company that has gone through, it's called Recombatetics, and they developed this technology with gene editing where they can now have your cows born without the horns. That's what they're doing. They're starting with this productivity instead of introducing gene editing traits. They're trying to convince people in the marketplace or the people that regulate this that it's about animal suffering. We're going to make it safer and healthier for animals. This is not about, you know, us making a ton of money. So we're going to make sure cows are born without those horns so we don't have to cut them off and expose them to discomfort. And also, pig industry, the pork industry, where, you know, pigs can get viruses and stuff. Well, they're editing the pigs so they don't get viruses. And also, they're editing your pigs so they don't go through puberty, because apparently when pigs go through puberty, I didn't know this because I don't raise pigs, but when pigs go through puberty, they smell different. They change and they start to stink a little. And so they want to get rid of that stench. They call it a boar trait. Apparently boars, wild boars really stink. Anyway, so on your animal husbandry area is editing genes in pigs like never before, so they don't go through puberty, and which makes castration unnecessary. So there you go. Also, with your dairy cows, hotter climates, they won't suffer as much. They're editing the cows. They won't be fighting and hitting each other with their horns. And this is just the tip of the iceberg because, like I said, they are trying to introduce this gene editing to regulators for animal welfare, and it's a necessary edit apparently for their benefit. So we're going to get into that a little bit for the first segment of the show with all this gene editing. It's fascinating stuff, but scary at the same time. So that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to talk about this gene editing. Oh, my goodness. What we're going to uncover here. Because as I uncover all this stuff, you know, I'm just shaking my head. I'm saying to myself, where are the whys? You know, sometimes doing something you think is good, if you look at the big picture, is not good. It's just dangerous in a lot of ways. So we're going to look at this gene editing because they're editing out natural traits and you've got to know this gene editing is just not for animals. You know this, right? Now the field of gene editing is really kind of moving at warp speed and will irreversibly change our plants, our crops, our animals, and even mankind eventually. So this is an experimental line in the sand that's really being crossed, and it's going to totally upset creation. It's really going to wipe out any remaining ethics the industry of science once had. This field is presenting permanent alterations to animals as an act of protection for the animals. So biotechnology is looking at gene editing as genetic improvements nature neglected to offer. So it's a classic narcissistic move, you know, attempting to convince you that what they're doing is good. It's a good thing. It's for our best interest when it is really far from the truth. All right, let's see what the gene editing industry is up to, and we're going to get a glimpse of what the future may hold for all living things. Anybody out there want to be a superhuman? You see all these, you know, Marvel comic movies. Why do you suppose that is? Well, in the not-so-distant future, man won't need to put on an exoskeletal suit to perform superhuman abilities. Splicing in the genes that would make other species run faster, leap higher, and see further is really not outside the ethics of science to equip mankind with. So in November 2018, Trinity College in Dublin, Ireland, they reported on research that they had discovered which gene made thoroughbred horses race faster. So the researchers stated it is a gene that influences the skeletal muscles and how they grow, how they flex, how they retain stamina. So the scientists have already declared that their research will have multi-billion dollar implications. Now, you may be saying, well, yeah, for the horse race industry. No, not just there. This is going to move over to other areas. So the research team has named this gene, they discovered, the speed gene. And you know this kind of research is really not going to be retained solely in the realm of racehorses. This is bad enough that, you know, science can, you know, they can tinker with this gene selection in your horses, highly influence that field of track racing. Well, just think how this knowledge of being adapted to other areas and making a superhuman army. Think about it. So what we're witnessing is the dissecting of living code. That's what they're doing. The dissecting of your gene code of all living things is what science is doing. They hunt for gene attributes to control, and then in doing so, they are steering the future of all things that were created. So, for instance, the researchers that sniffed out the speed gene, they stated they were looking for those cells that are contributing to the genetic selection of speed and stamina. So apparently they have discovered this secret gene that makes horses run faster. What makes, you know, horses are the fastest runners, and they could supposedly edit that gene to affect the skeletal muscle growth to make horses fast or slow. So the research was published in the Public Library of Science, November 2018, so just this month. The speed gene is born. Here is a quote from Emmanuel Hill, Professor of Trinity. He says, "We tested the different versions of the polymorphism of the myostatin gene, which offered a pronounced inhibitor of skeletal muscle growth and highly influences the race distant aptitude of racehorses." Aha. Yeah. So, and of course, you know, this will be presented as a way to help, you know, prevent skeletal muscle defects in humans. That's how it's going to be. That's how it's going to be presented. And it may well, very well be the case, but you know, it's not going to stay in that area. It's going to go over to making somebody a Superman. You know this. Man can't stop himself. All right, let's look at the biotechnology, this new area in breeding. Now, the gene editing venue is really altering the standards of what attributes or traits animals might have. So the public is being told that these changes are in the best interest of the animals themselves, citing instances by removing the likelihood of them injuring themselves or becoming more resistant, possibly, to disease. So the breeding of farm animals has been highly influenced by global warming and even greenhouse gases. And we are to believe that because of this gene editing in dairy cows, for instance, our milk is healthier today than it was in the 1940s, all because of less gas emissions. Do you believe that? I personally don't. Here's a quote from Van Enseman. He's with U.S. Davis Cooperative Extension Biotechnology. He's a specialist at the Department of Animal Science. He says, a number of breeding methods, including artificial insemination, embryo transfer, crossbreeding, and geometric gene editing selection, have been used to achieve these improvements. And, of course, those researchers at at Trinity College's, they said in their research with the speed gene, they say research is underway to extend the gene editing applications, that we have today, and it might produce offspring of only one gender. The potential for this industry regarding gene editing to make improvements to food and animals largely hinges on regulatory processes. But, they want to make offspring of only one gender. Do you see where this is headed? It's kind of scary. So if you get one gender, how is that species going to go on, right? I don't know this thinking process they have. All right, so I want to talk about now the gene editing of brains. That's right. No part of the human body is exempt from gene editing, let me tell you. Now, in 2006, Stanford University released a lot of research where they were supposedly successful in editing memories and learning capabilities in mice. So these neuroscientists are really not involved in this kind of research to make smarter mice, okay? They're involved because they want to be able to highly influence the human brain. So their work was actually published in the November 8, 2006 issue of the Journal of Neuroscience. Now, of course, the research is stating that all this research will influence human brain pathology would lead to possibly solving neurological diseases. So the researchers are writing about how their discoveries could help people avoid damage caused by, like, say, prolonged stress on the brain, or they could, you know, edit those genes to turn on or off those areas that affect your memory. They were told that this would eliminate maybe the need of certain medications like steroids or antidepressants that tend to offer side effects. And we're also talking about editing brain nerve cells in the hippocampus region. That's where your memory and learning takes place. And these nerve cells respond to other receptors and hormones. And our brains are different. Male and female brains are very different. So one edit in the male brain may not be advisable in the female. So once they start editing, they can create a chain reaction of all kinds of changes that would affect possibly sex hormones, behavior, personality traits, and so forth. So scary. That's so tiptoe through the eggshells, because that is one false move kind of thing. And that's your brain we're talking about, you know? So what about, what else do we see? You know, what you're going to see at the zoo, you know, with all this gene editing? That's my question. Well, scientists in the biotechnology field, like I said, they're editing your cows so they don't have horns, and they're editing pigs to eliminate puberty so they don't stink so much. And there's really no limit due to the fact, really, that the standardized regulations in this area of science have not caught up with this industry. So will doctors and patients be able to trust any of this research when billions of dollars are at stake? You know, people have done worse for less money, right? So I have no doubt that this area of scientific medicine will be like the rest of it, attempting to erase one problem while creating an even bigger one. So that is what happens when science attempts to rewrite God's copyright. Yeah, when you start to, you know, step on God's dominion, because God left dominion of man for himself, see. He gave man dominion over the animals, the plants, and all that. But human, mankind, you don't want to start messing around with God's genetic code for humans, no. Well, let's look at what God promises, because we are empowered by his promises. And God promises us from Genesis to Revelation that his medicinal plants are here for the service of man and the healing of the nations. And we know God can't lie. So it matters what you put your trust in. Science may never figure out how herbs work to help us heal, but that does not negate the fact that they do benefit us to make us well. Now, if you'd like more empowering information on herbs to help strengthen your immune system, your metabolic function, to cleanse away toxins, if you want more powerful information on herbs to help you do that, give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call, and you can request their free catalog. Their number is toll-free in the United States and Canada. By the way, we're hearing from a lot of Canadians lately. I just heard from a guy in Ontario, who said that typically the herb products they have in their stores up there are more single herb type formulas. So they don't have combination herb formulas there, which is a reflection of what's going on in Europe. Europe doesn't like combination herb formulas either. It's single herb formulas, end of story, unless, of course, you're a drug company. But, yeah, so that's in Canada already, across the pond over there. So who do they call? Well, it's not Ghostbusters. They're calling Apothecary Herbs for the combination herb formulas that are unique and proven, time proven, because over 60 years of testing in these formulations that John Christopher had. And when he retired, he opened a school and taught everybody how to do it. So give the folks at Apothecary Herbs a call. Ask for their free product catalog. That number is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. And, of course, you can visit their website, thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. And recently we had some feedback from a customer. It says, not only do you have great products that work, but I like Apothecary Herbs, he says, for the education they provide. So, yes. Using herbs can be a learning curve, but we'd like to educate you on how to do that so you can help other people, too. It's passing on the power, see? That's why they call it the power herbs. And so thepowerherbs.com is the website. Now, if you're on there, I encourage you, if you have email, if you want their free online newsletters, they are packed full of lots of information that you go out each week. The American Survival goes out on Tuesdays, and the Health Quest goes out on Friday. So if you want to get a Health Quest, you definitely want to sign up for that, and it'll go out to you tomorrow. And, you know, we're coming up to the holidays, so you may see a break in delivery of some of these newsletters as we get close to Thanksgiving. But do sign up, because they are free, and you just go to the powerherbs.com website, and you click on Books and Newsletters, and you can sign up there. And don't forget, they are having their in-stock special. I got a call today saying, why are you having an in-stock special? Well, last year, we got many requests for products during Black Friday and Cyber Monday that some things got back ordered, you know, because we had such a volume of orders. And so people were kind of like disappointed. They had to wait a couple weeks or maybe even a month for a certain item. Because, you know, we naturally age and cold press our liquid formulas here. We try not to run low in stock, but you know how you get at the end of the year, most companies try to watch how much they have in stock because of, you know, accounting and taxes. So this year what we did is that let's run an in-stock special prior to the blowout on Black Friday and Cyber Monday so people have an opportunity to get what they need and still save money. So right now their in-stock special is 15% off any order, so you don't have to have a limit on what you need to qualify for the 15%. And the code is on the website, on the homepage. If you want to go on the website, it's up there. But if you want to use the code over the phone, it's in stock. You just want to say in stock. And that way you will get the 15% off and be a happy camper and get what you need, especially, you know, hectic holidays. You want to get your immune boosters. You want to get your cold and flu stuff. And whatever else you're thinking of, you know, tooth and gum, stuff for the pets. Your power greens for pets is a big item. So in-stock special I thought was a great idea, and so we went with that. So take advantage, 15% off, and that ends now on the 18th, Sunday the 18th of November. So you got a few days to jump on that special and save 15% and, you know, beat the rush and sit back and relax, enjoy Thanksgiving, and don't have to worry about it. Yeah? ThePowerHerbs.com, 866-229-3663. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. Check it out. All right, so we're going to be taking a break here in a minute, but when we come back, we're going to talk about doctors, what they're admitting to, what they admit to regarding their prescriptions they prescribe, vaccines, and about diagnosing. You'll be amazed. So don't go anywhere. We got more on the other side.
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody. Help, you know I need someone. Help. When I was younger, so much younger than today, I never needed anybody's help in any way. Now these days are gone, I'm not so self-assured.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
007, your assignment is to find out what herb secrets herbalist Wendy Wilson has on Herb Talk Live.
Prone to developing kidney stones? Nearly 20% of men and 10% of women are, and they have no idea how they got them. If you've experienced the pain of kidney stones, your risk of recurrence is high. Having kidney stones is the result of diet, such as using the wrong salt, eating too much animal foods, or taking synthetic vitamins. If you're tired of suffering from kidney stones or want to reduce the likelihood of getting them, call Apothecary Herbs for their whole food, organic kidney stone herbal liquid formula. formula. Gently cleanse and purify your kidney filters to reduce the particle buildup that creates stones. Call Apothecary Herbs now for the Kidney Stone Formula, 866-229-3663, or visit thepowerherbs.com. Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com, where your healthcare options just became endless.
Our prescription for good health? Herb Talk Live with herbalist Wendy Wilson. No insurance card required.
As we age, there can be many reasons why we feel tired, have memory issues, gain weight, struggle with stress, or feel depressed. These symptoms can be indicators that the adrenal glands that sit on top of your kidneys need metabolic strengthening. There are herbs known to improve adrenal gland function, circulation, blood pressure, skin, muscle, and bone strength. Why suffer with weakness when you can use gland-strengthening medicinal herbs? Empower yourself with the organic balance chemistry in the adrenal gland formula. You will remove the risk of megadoses and offer specific nutrition the body needs. Call Apothecary Herbs now for their adrenal gland formula, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. That's Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. Because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Frank's on the macabre tonight. Well, I know. I don't want to give you such a negative, dire message, but I want you to be aware. Put it on your prayer list. God's in charge. But to be aware, to be savvy, to be educated about it so you're not sucked in and become a victim. That's why I do what I do. And you know, I don't like just presenting a problem. I like to present also a solution. So, you know, stay close to God. Psalms 91 is a nice prayer of protection. Use his medicinal herbs to strengthen your body and to be resistant. And I was talking to someone today, Frank, new person, new to listening to the show. And it's just, you know, kind of a babe in the beginning here. And I was saying, you know, if you just get the toxins out and put good nutrition in, you'd be amazed how the body responds to that. And you can sidestep a lot of internal medicine diseases. And they're trying to wrap their brain around that, you know? And I'm like, why should that be hard? I mean, I think we make things harder than they are. I really do. Well, let's get to this topic about doctors admitting that they're pretty much drug pushers. They're totally ignorant about vaccines, and they offer huge misdiagnosis risk. Absolutely. And this is from the horse's mouth. We're going to report on this. Now, the CEO of a drug company called Valeant actually admitted that the primary goal of their pharmaceutical company was profits. Yep. Profits over everything else. So according to Valeant Pharmaceutical, the CEO, Martin Shkreli, he says his first obligation is to the shareholders, not to patients. He explained that if they make shareholders happy by acquiring, let's say, new drugs that are on the market already, and then they raise the price on those drugs, that's their main objective. So health has really never been the main objective of such a drug company or even hospitals per se. So it is really a business. It's strictly a business organization, just like an auto body shop. It's just like any other business. So patients are not supposed to take this very personally. It's just doing business. That's why a hospital, if you don't pay your hospital bill, they'll come and take your house. They have no qualms about that. They maybe fixed your heart in surgery, but now you'll be homeless. So the attitude from a lot of the pharmaceutical companies, I think is really worse than criminal. But when you know their drug or their device is worthless and actually can cause injury or death, and you know that you're promoting it anyway, it really becomes evident that, you know, they're going to make more money installing that device or prescribing that drug and make billions of dollars before they're ever brought to court and have any legal judgments against them. So, you know, that's the picture I want people to get in mind. It's a system that's advertised as health care when it's really about sick care and money. It's not about anything else. I want you to, I think healthcare has its place. Trauma. You know, and God help you if you have to go there and have somebody with you, your family member, watch over you while you're there, because you're going to need it. Here's a quote from Michael Parsons, CEO of Valiant. He says, if products are sort of mispriced and there's an opportunity that we can act appropriately in the terms of doing what I assume our shareholders would like us to do, well, then our primary responsibility to our shareholders is to make a lot of money for them, and that's what we're going to do. End of quote. So the strategy of lots of drug companies is really to flood the market with as many drug options for diseases. Now, in 2008, Valiant Pharmaceuticals acquired 100 drugs and then increased the prices 1,000% on those products. So if we are discerning the real operation of a business like this, it's really simply to buy up existing drugs, jack up the price, rather than invest in research for new medicine. So the drug development is more expensive these days, so buying existing drugs already approved is cheaper, and then upping the price to make more profit. Now, the U.S. Government House Committee on Oversight and Reform, well, they're supposed to prevent this kind of exploitation. However, it has already been established that the FDA's duty is really not to the American people, but it's really to expand the drug company's marketplace. So Congress knows this already, and they therefore, based on their past behavior, there's really no pushback from our elected officials when this exploitation continues. So patients are really waking up, I think, to the fact that drug companies are simply profit centers. They really ignore a lot of ethics and the morality of patient suffering and wellness. And physicians are admitting they don't know what is inside the drugs they are prescribing, and they have really no idea if the clinical trials on those drugs are evidence-based trials. They admit they have no control over the validity of these tools that they are instructed to use in order to practice their craft of healthcare. There you go. And it's all about plausible deniability, see. Medical doctors they're not in charge of making the drugs. They're not in charge of testing the drugs. And in most instances, they don't even know the ingredients in them. And how many of them really look into the validity of the drug claims before they even write you a prescription? Zero. I can tell you very, very few. Not many of them have time to do that, so they don't. But when you do find doctors that do investigate, they do admit that they have really not that much of a knowledge on the medication they're expecting you to use. They may know of side effects when they look it up in the PDR, and that's about the extent of it. Here's an example. Susan Humphreys, she's a medical doctor. She decided to switch to homeopathic medicine from, you know, practicing allopathic medicine, and she spoke about vaccines. This is what she said. She's a former medical doctor. She says, doctors are not taught about vaccines in medical school. Doctors are not taught about vaccines, period. Doctors are not taught about the adjuvants in vaccines. Doctors are not taught how vaccines are manufactured and what animal ingredients are used. Doctors are not taught about the potential dangers of using vaccines. Doctors are simply given the notices when the vaccines are due and when to give them. And that's it. End of story. And, of course, if you were with us a few weeks ago when Frank, thank you, Frank, best engineer in the world, when Frank played that clip about the doctor testifying before legislators about a bill that they were going to enact regarding mandating vaccines, he said, go dig for the real science, because what we're being told about vaccines is not supported by real science. So he was telling him, he was giving him the shot across the bow. And whether those legislators took their time to go dig for that, I suspect they did not. I don't think they did. I want you to read this quote by Dr. Mike Greer. He's a geneticist. You know what a geneticist is, right? Well, they study pathogens. Okay? They research diseases, viruses, for instance. They redo that research. And then they turn that research over to vaccine makers, or vaccine makers hire them and they work for vaccine makers. But here's what Dr. Greer says. He says, I have dealt with vaccines for many years and was unaware, and most doctors were unaware for over 35 years, that vaccines contain thermosol and that that ingredient is actually mercury. End of quote. So you see what the drug manufacturers did is they didn't want to list mercury because that would be like, you know, a big red flag. So they changed the name to thermosol. And then people think, well, what the heck is, well, you know, it sounds good. Well, let's just go with it. And that's the problem. People assume too much. If I had to give the young generation any advice at all, is don't make assumptions and listen more and speak less. You know, really guard your speech and be wise with it, you know. Dr. Greer really has published a lot of scientific papers that were basically warning the public about thermosol and vaccines because it causes what he says neurodevelopmental disorders and even heart disease. Now, his writings were in the Journal of the American Physicians and Surgeons in 2003. Now, another doctor, chemist, Morris Harris, the University of Maryland, he filed a patent on thermosol in 1927. And it was claimed to be 50 times more effective at killing bacteria. It was considered a bactericide. And so it was supposedly better than other preservatives. So it was to preserve the vaccine from becoming contaminated with bacteria. But if you took the early vaccines that had mercury in it, thermosol, and you put it under a microscope, they were loaded with bacteria because they had put the viruses in there. So they were already contaminated. Eli Lilly really was the first drug company to call mercury thermosol under the trade name methylate. Methylate, I guess is how you pronounce it, methylate. Well, let's look at some of the toxicology with your mercury thermosol. Science has labeled thermosol as a highly toxic compound and should not be inhaled, ingested, or come in contact with your skin. But it's okay to inject it right into the bloodstream. How about that? The thermosol container has a hazardous symbol on it. Science also states this heavy metal has the accumulative effect and is really toxic to sea life, causing long-term adverse effects. So it's accumulative. And how many vaccines are you getting? Is people getting now? And it's toxic to sea life. However, medical science is saying that if you inject it into humans, the body's able to metabolize it, and it tends to help it degrade. It becomes a harmless version of ethyl mercury. Now, animal tests prove that repeated injections have adverse effects on central nervous system and kidneys. Kidneys are the main target of thermosol-injected vaccines. So we got a lot of kids with diabetes and kidney failure. So the heavy metal leaves the brain, if it travels to the brain, it leaves the brain after 14 days, and then it appears in the colon 18 days after they get injected. Now, Norway did a study, and what they found is that there is a direct connection between thermosol and vaccines and various skin conditions that affect about 2% of their population. Poland's study concurs that and says almost 12% of their children and 38% of adults have skin problems like eczema, psoriasis, and so forth. Now, Dr. Lawrence Palveski, a pediatrician, also states that he did not realize what was in vaccines until 15 years after graduating from medical school. He states he was not provided with the information on vaccines from the medical establishment, and he had to really start digging into literature on what was in vaccines and the side effects on his own. Okay, so based on that statement and what Suzanne Humphrey said, doctors have no clue, they're not instructed on vaccines or any of that stuff, I would say medical doctors that are practicing medicine that haven't done any research on their own, well, their medical education is lacking. Wouldn't you say? I would, yeah. Their medical education is lacking. So he had to go digging for the truth, and he had to learn more about the true nature, he says, of vaccines, and that he says more doctors have to self-educate themselves because this information is missing from medical schools and residency programs. Well, it's not missing on purpose, on accident. It's on purpose. So he says, what I learned is that vaccines are not safe. However, we as physicians are told by the drug companies that they are safe. He goes on to say this about vaccines. Buckle up. He says, the injection of vaccine materials have never been truthfully evaluated. He says the materials in vaccines have not been tested for different age groups, pediatrics, adults, senior citizens, or mothers-to-be, pregnant women. He says we do not know where the vaccine materials travel when they go into the body. We do not know how these materials negatively affect the immune system, the lymphatic system, the liver, the mitochondria of our cells, the central nervous system, etc. He says there have been few published studies on adverse outcomes from vaccines showing vaccines have not been really tested and proven to be safe for use. And he says telling physicians that they have been wrong and have not been actually, and they have been actually hurting patients and get them to admit that is very difficult to do. He says it took me years as a pediatrician to say I was wrong and I don't know. Well, I would just say that children are being experimented on. Children are being harmed. Children are being killed with vaccines, Ben. Well, what else are we to conclude? Now, Dr. Tony Bark, an ER physician, she states that working in a hospital setting, she would encounter patients that weren't up to date on their vaccinations, and then that she would prompt the patients to comply and become up to date. She said she did a pediatric residency, but she did not learn anything about vaccines during her schooling or her training. So here she goes through medical school, this is 8 years of schooling with the residency, and zero information to doctors about something as important as infectious disease and vaccines. She says that the only thing doctors are taught about vaccines is the vaccine schedule itself and that the vaccines produce antibodies, and that's about it. There is no information on how vaccines affect human immune systems or about any risks. She says doctors are not trained to be critical thinkers about their training. They're robotic. This is what it is, and this is what you do. She says medical research and the corruption of it in their field of medicine has her truly concerned. She describes medical physicians as robots, worker bees, that essentially are clueless and just regurgitate drug company marketing fodder, she says, rather than evaluate therapies at face value. So Dr. Sherry Tenpenny is a name you might here is familiar. She states that when she was an ER physician and also a director of the ER for over 12 years, she says the only thing she knew about practicing medicine and about vaccines was that they contain sterile water, maybe a small amount of dead viruses or bacteria. But later on, she says, I started looking into vaccines and I read the inserts that came with the vaccines to discover what they really contained. And she gave a brief list: animal cow serum, monkey kidney tissue, chicken embryos, canine cells, human embryo cells, chicken and mouse brain cells. As I choke back some vomit here. Now, information given by an immunologist, this is a European immunologist. These people go out and study viruses and how they affect the immune system and all that stuff. Again, they work for drug companies that make vaccines. Now, this is Tatiana Opakashis. I guess I pronounced that right. But she said in her field, they're kind of an ivory tower. They're responsible for theories of immunology. She admits that she and her colleagues pretty much have tunnel vision. They read only information that's pertinent to their field of research. They don't read or even consider any research that shows vaccines cause damage. That's totally out of the question. Here's a quote from her. She says, we don't deal with the real world. We do research in labs, sort of like an ivory tower profession. We do not read any publications that are too far away from our field. We read only specific to our research, such as antibodies and how they are generated and other responses. Well, what they research and discover and the information they share with vaccine manufacturers is vital information on how to destroy an immune system. That's what they've imparted to drug companies that make vaccines. How do you weaken and destroy an immune system? How do you make an immune system almost non-existent after about 8 generations? Through vaccines. So she goes on to state that she went through her entire PhD training believing that vaccines give you immunity and protect you from disease. She explains that it is a standard in her medical industry that if a patient gets a vaccine and then the disease, that the vaccine was to prevent it, the standard practice is to declare the patient either was not vaccinated or they have a different type of disease. However, she says, upon immigrating to the United States, I had to present my vaccination schedule, and she noticed that as a child in the Ukraine, she was given 2 measles vaccination, but at the age of 11, she came down with measles. So she had to establish if science was right about immunizations or not. So after a lot of document researching, she said that she discovered that after doing her research that when people contract measles from, well, the measles vaccine, she said. And the vaccine really doesn't protect you from measles at all, doesn't help your immune system create an antibody against the disease at all. She said she found out the most immunologists really don't know anything about this, and their medical training is lacking. I'll say. I bet you there's more mothers out there that have dealt with children being seriously injured by vaccines that know more than they do. Okay, let's get to the misdiagnosing part. Misdiagnosing patients in the United States higher than patients think, according to the National Centers for Policy Analysis. A misdiagnosis has a 10 to 20% occurrence and exceeds the drug errors and exceeds surgical errors that were done on the wrong patient or body part. So that's about 12 million Americans get misdiagnosed annually. And of the misdiagnosed events, a whopping 28% of those get reported to the to be a life-threatening kind of error, resulted also in death. So the report showed that there were over 40,000 intensive care patients that die each year because of misdiagnosis. Harvard Medical Review found 14% of all adverse events are due to misdiagnosis, and 75% of these cases involve negligence. Misdiagnosis is really a leading cause of malpractice litigation, but a vast majority really don't end up in the court system due to evidence deletion or goes underreported and patients are none the wiser. Called cover-up, see? That's what that is. Now, the VA hospitals have a huge problem. They misdiagnose 500,000 annually in just Texas alone. And the National Center for Policy Analysis found that 50% of all physicians encounter at least one misdiagnosis per month. And that statistic is low because doctors are kind of reluctant to report that error. As one oncologist puts it, this is Dr. John Bersagel, senior oncologist, North Atlanta Children's Hospital. Once you start down one of these clinical pathways, it's really hard to stop and step out of them. In other words, if you start telling the patient and the patient's family, hey, you know, this is what it is, this is what I think it is, this is what we're going to do about it, and then somewhere along the line, you go, uh-oh, you may be too far down that road, he says, to back out of that. Yeah, sort of like on the operating table. Uh-oh. Well, here's a quote from Dr. James Nassessen's Mayo Clinic. Effective and efficient treatment really depends on the right diagnosis. We know one in five patients will be incorrectly diagnosed, and this is troubling. Dr. David Newman, professor of neurology, John Hopkins, says misdiagnosis happens all the time. This is an enormous problem, the hidden part of the iceberg of medical errors, and that dwarfs other kinds of mistakes. Oh, my goodness. And Dr. Mark Graber, he says he's with the Society to Improve Diagnosis in Medicine. He says arrogance and overconfidence in our abilities is the major part of the problem. Doctors have gotten a pass for too long when it comes to diagnostic accuracy. Physicians don't realize how error-prone they really are. And I know. I've worked with them. Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's like they go down the hall and there's this aurora around them or something like, I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, so let's recap. They don't know nothing about the drugs they're prescribing. They don't know nothing about the vaccines in your immune system that they tell you to get. And they make diagnostic errors left and right, probably more than we know. So do your homework, folks. Get second opinions. Do your due diligence. And more importantly, try to stay away from the white coats. Take care of yourself. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. Cleanse and nourish the body. And, you know, lower that risk of internal medicine disorders. The number to call is 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. Or visit their website, thepowerherbs.com. At powerherbs.com, if you're serious about herbs, you need apothecary herbs. I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. So seek medical advice, if you dare, from a licensed medical physician before using any product or therapy. I'm your herbalist, Wendy Wilson, and until next time, wish you all to be well.